National headlines
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB Carrollton News Talk 1330
FM 106.3.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. And if you check us out on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning, you can see our guest, see the contrast of our hairstyles. Introduce you to him here in just a second.
Is that a style you've got or just a
It is a style. I think I'm supposed to turn your mic up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on purpose.
That is actually on purpose. Right. Somebody styled that.
And I'm glad he stopped by. It's unfortunate the program had to end so soon this morning. But Alan Duke, he actually, at one point, I believe it's my understanding, you had this job. It wasn't with Grady Radio.
I actually named it the Community Voice Program in August of 1981. When there was a license change and a staff change, and we couldn't use the old community, it was called the Community Call-In, and it had been going for a couple of decades or more, and then we changed it to the Community Voice Program because we had a license and company change, and that was in August of 81, and I am so glad that it is still going on.
It is impressive. Steve Graddick stole it from whoever owned it before, right? He said, this is a good gig. Let me hang on to this.
Yeah, well, that's him. He and I were just reminiscing about our old radio stations we've been at. And I think every station pretty much he's been at, I either worked at or didn't, or decided I'd rather not work at. We kind of followed each other.
We had the opportunity to talk with Alan this morning again, say, you know, former newsman here in Carroll County, went on to do things national as well, worked with CNN. Did a podcast with Sirius XM with Nancy Grace for a time being.
And a radio show with her. We were syndicated.
And most recently, I was reading online, at least one person has called you the fake sheriff of Facebook. We'll talk about that as well. But yeah, I'd love to talk about the history of Carrollton Radio a little bit. Native, well, grew up in Carroll County anyway.
Yeah.
Your mom's pretty famous for, I don't know, jellies and a little bit more.
She stole that recipe from me, by the way.
Your brother, at least one of your brothers, a rock and roll star as well.
Yeah, he'll be playing up at, what's it called, Sutton's?
Is it Sutton's?
Okay. On Saturday night, I'll be there.
Good. Very fond of him. But nice to see you again, and appreciate you giving us the opportunity. Living in California now, and just stopped in to see your family and gave us a little bit of time to reminisce with you, and we do appreciate that. Yeah, talk about you. Growing up in Carroll County, growing up in Carrollton, you went to school here, I'm guessing?
My mother insisted that I go to school from...
To school?
Yes, I did. Yeah, Carrollton, from the second grade on through on Carrollton City Public Schools, and graduated in 1975 from Carrollton High School, and then there was a college down the street, West Georgia. I went to that, and I understand they made that into a university now. I don't know what's the difference.
It's a little bigger, I think.
No, it's not that much bigger.
I don't think so. 14,000 people?
Well, we had about 6,000 or 7,000 then, but it's quality, not quantity.
Mm-hmm. And there's more programs offered now.
There may be. There may be. But the dorms probably aren't as much fun as they were back in 1979.
No doubt. You obviously you have a tolerable radio voice. Is that one of the things that got you interested in doing radio?
You know what? I didn't have a radio voice when I started
the
radio. I talked like this. I just did. And then I just heard myself on the radio on WLBB. And I changed my voice. Mm. You know, the first record I ever played on WLBB was in August of 1974. We're talking about 45 years ago last month. It was Tammy Wynette's Woman to Woman. And it was on a Thursday night. They were training me, a Thursday afternoon, evening. And they were training me. And it was a college student who was working there. His name was Randy Potter. And he was letting me run the board for the first time. I was all real nervous and everything. And you know the old turntables. You're a young man, so you may not remember this.
We had turntables.
And when you had a 45, you had to put it on 45. You had to change the gear. And if you play in an album cut, which we did about every third or fourth record, it would be a 33 and a third, right? And I hadn't changed. We had played a album, the previous song on that turntable, and I had it on 33 and a third. So Tammy Wynette sounded sort of like Johnny Cash. But that was my start in radio.
Yeah, so that one goes backwards. 45 is a faster speed, obviously.
Right.
And so, if you think you got your man in the palm of your hand.
No request for that one.
Yeah, better listen.
Yeah, well, actually, it would be a pretty good song, but no. So my first record was a mistake, and I tried to get better after that.
And so that was WLBB at that time.
Yes.
And it wasn't news talk, but it did provide news?
We did a lot of news and talk. We had a news director at that time, Chris Clackham. I know a lot of the old folks around will remember Chris. He was a legend in Carrollton. Ken Childs was the other news person, and God rest his soul.
We kept him here?
Well, Ken is probably the reason I ended up staying in radio, because I was a senior in high school at Carrollton High School. I had been working at McDonald's, and I was just getting my pretty little hands, you know, burned by the grease in the fryer, and I came over to WLBB and started working, and Ken taught me how to write news stories. Of course, I had to relearn how to do that after I left, but no. I used to come in at night off the clock and help him make the calls to the police and everything and write the news stories for the next morning. And that's how I got started.
You're aware we have social media now, which was...
I've heard. What's that Facebook thing
about? Facebook thingamajiggy, the Twitter, all that. So I imagine there was more participation in the news program at that point than perhaps we see now. We do have some regular guests, and we'll get some comments on Facebook Live. We'll take a peek at those in just a little bit. If you do want to comment, those who are listening this morning and watching us, if you want to comment or send a question to Alan, feel free to post up there. But I assume there was more participation from the public,
well,
because that was exactly where they were getting the news.
Actually, I think that it's safer now, because back when I can recall when I'd do a news story somebody didn't like, they might come down to the station and bang on the door with a shotgun. Now they just tweet about it. So it's a little safer.
But as far as them asking questions and maybe
commenting
on stories.
It was very, very, very interactive. We get a lot of calls. I can even still tell you the name of some of the people who were regular callers. There's Alton Nash. Anybody out there remember Alton Nash? He would call every day and talk on the Community Voice program. And it was a community. And that's the thing about WLBB. Carroll County would not be the county and the community it is if it had not been for the fact that Mr. Ty Singer bought an old surplus World War II transmitter that had been on a submarine and fixed it up and made it into WLBB's transmitter in 1948. And we would not be the same. We would probably have been scooped in by... either Atlanta or Ranburn, Alabama. I don't know which one would have won that contest. But Carrollton has a unique identity because of WLBB.
Alan Duke, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. How did you get to CNN?
I-20. No. I was after I left as manager of the old 1330 WPPI for a short stint in 1986, I got a job offer to go to WGST and Georgia Radio News, as it was called then. I went there and spent about 2.5 years there. And then I got a call from Vice President at CNN asking me to come to lunch, and then offered me a job as afternoon anchor on CNN Radio. And from there, I spent 26 years with the company.
And what are some things that you did do in that 26 years?
Oh, well, I moved over to the TV side at one point, and also then to the digital journalism part when the internet thing started happening. I guess that's still a thing. And they sent me out covering terrorism and politics. And eventually in 2009, after 20 years there, they said, hey, you want to go to Hollywood? I said, well, it was good enough for Jed Clampett. And so I loaded up the truck and moved to Los Angeles, California, and became an entertainment reporter for CNN. But entertainment out there basically means going to court, to the morgues, to the cops, because most of the entertainers were being arrested, detained, accused, charged, sued. And it was sort of like being here in Carrollton. Not that a lot of that goes on, but being around the courthouse. I grew up in the courthouse here. I can name all the judges. I knew them well. Not because I was being adjudicated, but because I just would like hanging out in the courtroom. And that's what I did at at CNN. It was just getting to know what was going on with entertainment, which was crime. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Like Michael Jackson dies and there's a big trial. Chris Brown beats up Rihanna. There's a big case. Lindsay Lohan gets arrested every other day. I was in court with her probably, I think I counted 27 times with Lindsay Lohan. It got so much that they started inviting me over to the Lohan house for Thanksgiving. I mean, that's what entertainment is in Hollywood now.
You even this year, you've done some controversial stories on digital, and well, not even all, not even all entertainment. For what I was
no,
saying.
Well, what happened was CNN started changing, and by 2014, for several years, my byline had been the number one byline on CNN.com because of all these crazy stories I was covering, and I was, in my 50s, and I don't know if you know it, you're going to have a rude awakening once you get in your 50s. Companies try to get rid of you and hire these young whippersnappers.
We're working on it right now. We've got a few of them right now.
Youngsters just out of college. Anyway, CNN was doing a lot of that and changing, and I was looking for the next thing, and I got a job offer from a company named AMI Inc. Well, let's just say two of my two ex-bosses are now under immunity from Robert Mueller. I'm not joking with you. I went to work for them for 5 months and then fired them after learning all their secrets and tricks, and started a company that is now called Lead Stories, leadstories.com. We built it into a company that we're now, as you say, the fake news sheriff on Facebook. We're fact checkers. So whenever
I want to hold off and delve into that, because we're going to talk a lot about that, I think, after our break. Mm-hmm. And did want to mention one young whippersnapper that we have, Joel Brock, doing our cameras today.
Yes,
fine young guy.
I was looking at him. These kids today.
He knows.
Is he a millennial? Are you a millennial?
He is a millennial.
He's a millennial.
And he's got control of these fine high-definition cameras, which if you visit the Newstalk 1330 Facebook page,
I forgot to put my makeup on. I wish you had warned me.
I should have given you a heads up to get here a little early. He's usually ready by 8 o'clock with the bag of makeup. But, hey, if you're watching the program.
I got my makeup right here.
Want a question or comment,
go ahead and put it
send
on.
The way of Alan Duke. You can feel free to do so on the Newstalk 1330 Facebook page. Or call us this morning, 678-601-8255. That is 678-601-TALK. I'm Colin Worthington. It is 8:43. We'll take our first break and come back with more with Alan Duke.
Oak Mountain Academy has offered a challenging college preparatory education for over 50 years. With over 500 graduates, we have maintained a 100% college acceptance rate. Over 90% of our students earn acceptance to their first choice of college or university, and over the past 5 years, our students have earned over $10 million in scholarship offers. Our students are creating a legacy. Come, be a part of our family and create your own legacy today. To learn more, visit us at oakmountain.us.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at Tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. And this morning you can catch us live on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. I'm not sure which camera's pointing our way. Our guest, as you can see this morning, Alan Duke, longtime Carroll Countyan, has moved off to the big city of L.A., where he's working on a brand new project, or fairly new project, in the last year. I think I saw you about 6 months ago, and you were just talking about you're getting real excited about it.
Right.
First of all, your family in California are probably sleeping right now, but you want to give them a shout-out and brag about them a little bit?
My wife, my lovely wife, Julia, yes. She should be asleep right now because it's West Coast time. And also, I've got a new parakeet. His name is Twitter. Hey, Twitter.
And you probably just set off all the alarms when she's watching this later. That'll want to set off all your talking devices.
Yeah.
Hey, Twitter.
And of course, speaking of that, there's Siri. I would like to, hey, Siri, how are you doing? Hey, Siri.
You were wise enough to shut your phone off.
Yeah, I cut my phone down, but she's messaging she talking, me now. Yeah. Siri is a good friend of mine, but she says she can't hear me. Anyway, yeah.
And you got a kid that's doing well as well.
My daughter, she just turned 28 yesterday, and she's recording and that kind of thing. She's in New York today for Fashion Week, you know, where all the entertainment people go and be fashionable.
Alan Duke, again, our guest, had this job with representing or serving Carroll County as news director for quite a while here before moving off to CNN, and again, now working in Los Angeles. And the thing that I did see most recently on the website, an article which had called you the fake sheriff of Facebook. What is that all about?
Well, when I left CNN, I went to work for AMI Inc. And believe it or not, in 2014 and 2015, I was covering this Jeffrey Epstein child predator thing.
Mm-hmm. What year was that? This year or last year?
No, this was 5 years
ago. 5 years ago, yeah.
I was assigned to dig into it. Mm. And all this stuff you're seeing now reported about Epstein, I published that in January of 2015 and in February.
Yeah, at that point, it wasn't as mainstream as it obviously became.
No, people weren't paying attention to it. It didn't strike a chord. Mm. All the stuff about Bill Clinton's flight logs on there and visiting this and interviewing the women. I actually interviewed some people that still haven't been interviewed, and I came up with things like, you know who Jeffrey Epstein's lead lawyer was that got him that sweetheart deal? Got $3 million to do it. You ever heard of Ken Starr?
Yeah.
He was the lead lawyer. And I published all these things in, so it's no surprise to me what's going on with that.
What was the response when you first put that out 5 years ago, especially
Not
you're
much.
Mentioning Ken Starr?
People weren't paying attention to it. Yeah. Ken Starr certainly wasn't returning my calls. But it's just this Me Too movement thing that people are paying more attention to what people do regarding sexual predators and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it just become a thing. And that's the way the news business is, isn't it? We ignore important issues for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden it becomes fashionable. And it's Fashion Week, all you know, on certain stories. A little hypocritical, mm-hmm. I think, because...
it's easier to hear stories and see stories that you only have to give that moment thought to.
Right.
As long as you know, when you have to follow them for legitimate information, it's harder to follow. Yeah. It's hard to pay attention.
So I left. I left CNN, and then after 5 months with AMI Inc. as their national correspondent and digging into that and some crazy stuff, I was able to start my own company called LeadStories.com, mm-hmm. and we developed. My partner, who's one of my partners, is a technical genius. He had developed this groundbreaking software system, computer system, where we're able to track what's happening on social media. And one of the things that we taught it to do was to identify when questionable content, disinformation, fake news is trending on social platforms, and we use that. We license it around the world to journalism people, PR people, other agencies to use to figure out what's happening with content. And it's become, like I said, it's become a fashionable thing now, this fake news war. And so my company has a contract with Facebook as a fact checker, and that keeps me pretty busy.
Your company the first one to do something like that for Facebook?
No. They already had. They started the program a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and then they hired us less than a year ago. We replaced, you've heard of Snopes?
Right, yeah.
They first hired them, but we replaced Snopes mm-hmm. as their fact checker.
But there are others. Snopes? What was the reasoning for replacing Snopes at that point? I think a lot of people still trust Snopes.
I'm not saying don't trust them. I'm just saying we replaced them mm-hmm. serving for Facebook. And then Associated Press is another one, dailycaller.com, PolitiFact, factcheck.org. Mm-hmm. There are several that serve the English-speaking world, and then they've got them in other languages.
Well, is there a Facebook page to follow Lead Stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's also leadstories.com.
and how often a day, or maybe you clarify a story
that's
put out there?
We publish probably two or three story debunks a day, focusing on what's trending and current. But we've done thousands of them by now, and the thing about the stuff that your friends share on Facebook is it's recycled. Like there's a meme or a story that's not factual, and it gets debunked, and we limit its distribution. Then a month later or a year later, it gets another life, and they share it again, or somebody else does, and it starts viral again. So you do it once, it's like it's the gift that keeps on giving, right? It's just crazy. There are some of my friends out there in Carrollton, they know who they are, share an awful lot of that fake news. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes for people, for the average person who's looking at Facebook and uses Facebook to get their news, a lot of the time, is it just as easy as looking at that source? Because a lot of those names of the magazines or theoretical magazines that are putting that out, if you don't really recognize it, maybe research that magazine.
But people look at the picture and the headline, and they think they know it, and they don't even bother to click it, except they click to share it with their friends. It's a whole psychological reason that people do that. But there's a lot of stuff out there that's not what it seems to be. I'll give you one point, and this is probably the most surprising thing that I learned in this fake news business, is that a significant amount of the disinformation, that's the stuff that's not true, that's being shared as true, is not produced by who you think it is. So there's a business model where there are people who make a lot of money by making up stuff, putting it on Facebook, knowing that some people out there, and you know who you are, click and share it, and it becomes viral. Millions of people see it. They make money off of that, and a lot of money off of it. And the two of the most successful publishers of that stuff that is on the conservative, the right side, that's being shared, they're actually very liberal people. In fact, one of them, I just recently met him because he wanted to discuss it because I kind of put him out of business, is he was one of the first gay people to be married in England. He's a progressive, he's a Muslim, and he's British. And his company is producing all of these stories that the conservatives in far right, not far right, just right on the right side of the political spectrum, are sharing, thinking it's real. But there's this guy in England who's all those things I just said, who is publishing them, and he knows it's not true. Hmm. But he knows people don't read the stories, don't check it out. And it sounds kind of crazy, but if you check into it, you'll see what that is. It's a business model.
I know I got a break coming up, but one more question to have to do with that. If we look back at the election of 2016 and the speculation that the fake news and things affected that election at all, how much of a dent do you hope or do you expect that what you're doing can be as part of the 2020 election?
Well, the guy I just told you about, he had to change his business model because we flagged him so much that he couldn't get distribution of significance on Facebook. He went from making a lot of money to making very little money. And we're able to do that. And it's not political. It's not philosophical. It's all about, is it real? And we use real journalism techniques plus some technology to debunk these things.
Well, what are those techniques, technology? I mean, there's things.
Well, first of all, if nobody sees it, it doesn't matter. If it's getting a lot of shares, our system alerts us within 5 or 10 minutes. We've got technology that'll send me an alert that there's a piece of content that's questionable that's starting to get a lot of shares or it's trending on Twitter or wherever. And then we go and look at it and we can do a debunk of it. And if it's not true, I will tell you that probably for every story I find that's not true, I spend hours investigating 5 or 6 other stories that turned out, they are true.
Do you repost those or do you reshare those?
No, if it's not true, then we take action against it. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things I say, that can't be true. And then, or somebody sends me a tip or we see something trending, I check it out, say, that actually is legitimate. And so we don't do anything to it. But So it's a kind of a time-consuming thing, but that's what we do.
We could talk about that for 2 hours, I'm sure. 8:55 right now. We got to take our final break. We'll come back and wrap up our show with Alan. Good time if you have questions or comments for him to post those on the News Talk 1330 Facebook live page right now. We'll pass those along. We'll come back with about 4 minutes. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System. News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, sponsored by Oak Mountain Academy and Tanner Health System.
At Tanner, we're advancing health throughout West Georgia and East Alabama because we know that exceptional care isn't based on how many patients we serve, but how well we serve them. That's why we're focused on quality, delivering the best possible care for our patients. It's why we're expanding our clinical services and building new facilities to serve our growing community. And it's why we're looking beyond our hospitals and medical practices to develop sustainable wellness and preventive health programs in our region. What makes a hospital great has changed. It's not how many beds we have. It's how well we care for the neighbors who need them. Delivering the right care to every patient, every time, is how Tanner is advancing health with medicine beyond measure. Learn more at tanner.org. Or find a physician on our medical staff by calling 770-214-CARE.
A well-rounded education includes much more than just academics. At Oak Mountain Academy, we encourage our students to find their niche in any of our 42 co-curricular opportunities. Over the past 5 years, we have brought home 5 state and 20 regional athletic titles. Our one-act play and literary teams continuously compete at the region and state level, and our academic teams bring home first place more than not. We are warriors creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. I'm your host, Colin Worthington, wrapping up our program with Alan Duke. Sorry.
That's Gary, my brother.
That is your brother. He's the rock and roll star, for the record. Yeah. But Alan, lucky enough to have you in Carroll County this week, return to where he grew up. What are you doing back here this week?
I came by just to check in with Carrollton and visit with people, get some good biscuits at Jerry's Country Kitchen, and then over at the Courthouse Cafe, and to see people, and the Carrollton's got the best places to eat, frankly. But my mom's here, my brother's here, I got a sister, two brothers and a sister here. One of my favorite memories I put on Facebook just recently, because I was going through and found these pictures, when I was Tarantula Man, I think this was 1979. I just made this public. I had this on a private setting, but you can actually find it now on Facebook. These pictures that you can post them or do whatever you want to, is when, see me? That's me rappelling down the People's Bank building when it was actually 4 or 5 stories high. And you know they chopped that thing down, right?
Yeah, recently.
Well, it's not even People's Bank anymore, is it?
No, it's West Georgia Technical College.
Right. Yeah. That's me as Tarantula Man. There's Dale, who was the salesperson, and Bob White, who was the salesperson for WLBB back in like 1979. And those were great memories.
Well, I'd like to know the background on Tarantula Man. With that,
the manager of WLBB, Bob Thorburn, came up with this idea in 1979 for promotion, and he designed the costume. We found somebody in town to make it. I think it was a Ms. Brady had a sewing shop down the street from here on Noonan Road. And because I was just getting out of the Army, where I jumped out of airplanes and propelled down mountains, he said, "Hey, Alan, you'll be Tarantula Man." So
I wonder if they let you repel in downtown Carrollton nowadays.
I still got this costume. It does not fit anymore.
Well, it's hip. It's hip. I was wondering if it was an animal that you guys had found in the studios, because we do find some strange animals.
No, we had some snakes, but you got to have the sales staff.
Alan Duke, it was great to see you again. We appreciate you stopping in. Half hour zips on by.
It does.
And I hope you get a chance to see all your friends.
What are you talking about? 62 years zip on by.
All right. Hope you get a chance to see some pals and stuff when you're in town. And sorry they missed you on the show. Perhaps they'll see it when they look at our Facebook page later and
absolutely
hit you up on Facebook. Thank you guys for tuning in this morning for the Community Voice program. Start another week on Monday. I think not next week, but the week after that, we're going to start bringing back candidates for all these municipal races that are coming up in November. And we'll keep you up posted on the guests and each day that they are scheduled. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning to the Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3 WLBB. Have a great weekend.
national headlines,
and the local stories you care about.
WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330.